Our text for this morning's message, we're diverting once again from the Gospel of Mark because of Father's Day, and our text is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 13. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13. As you're turning there, I'll once again ask God to bless the reading and exposition of his word. And so, Father, once again, depending on you to bring forth your word with power, we ask for that very thing. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, that you would give your servant the ability to effectively communicate your word and feed your sheep. Father, may we all together be built up and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior. May we come to have a greater appreciation and joy in what it means to be a child of God through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear God's word from 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." After King David had assembled all the fathers of Israel to tell them how his son Solomon would be the one to build the temple he had wanted to build with God, and after all the fathers had freely given and generously given to that project, that's when David spoke these words, blessing the Lord his God, calling upon him as Father, delighting in knowing that he was a child of God, that he had been chosen by God, that God had made a covenant with him. If there were ever a man that I loved, it's my dad. In my eyes and that of my brothers, he was a great man. I'm sure in my mother's as well, well beloved by her. And I think of something from my childhood. My dad had a habit of bringing home surprises for his sons. And you never knew when dad would come home from work and he'd have something to give you, some surprise. And there was an anticipation in that. There was a delight. You know, dad is coming home and he might have some blessing for us. And there was a certainty of his love for us. We delighted in knowing that our dad loved us. If you are a Christian, this is what I want you to take away from this message: a delight, an excitement that God is your Father. I want that reality to fill our hearts and overflow into greater aspirations, desires to be with God and to commune with Him. I want it to overflow in a passion to serve him. I want it to be a dynamo in our hearts that leads us as we anticipate what our Father has, as we are filled with joy in knowing that He is our Father, that really motivates us and energizes us. That's the kind of Father's Day I want this to be for you and for me. If you're not a Christian, but still lost in that hatred of God which we have by nature, I want to see God giving you a burning desire to be adopted by Him as His beloved child. So that's what I hope will be accomplished in this message, that those who have not yet known God as Father will come into that knowledge, and that those who have known Him in that way will be filled with excitement and joy and anticipation, just knowing I am a child of God. This is one of the few places in the Old Testament where God is directly addressed as Father. And if King David could call God Father and say these things, how much more could David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, how much more could he do that? Last week, if you recall, we had a perfect example of Scripture interpreting Scripture. Jesus spoke of the leaven, and we looked at other places where the leaven was explained. Well, this week, we have a perfect example of how Scripture saturated the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was familiar with the book of Chronicles. He was familiar with all of the Scripture. And the model prayer that he gave to his disciples, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's really our prayer given to us by our Lord, that prayer has the same aroma of the love of a child for his father that we read here in these words of King David spoken so long ago. He, Jesus, who knew and prized what David's words express, the fatherhood of God, He who more than any other man could make them His own, He gave that prayer to His brethren, to those He called His brethren, so that we could make it ours as well. Hear David's words from 1 Chronicles echoed in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Do you see how that prayer reflects what Jesus had known since childhood from the Scriptures? Do you see how his mind was filled with that sense of the fatherhood of God? And He's telling us that through Him who died as a substitute and rose from the grave victorious, the redeemed sinner, once alienated from God as an object of wrath, can now address God as a child who calls his or her father Daddy. And that's the sense of the original language word Abba that we find in the New Testament. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's how the Christian comes to God. Father, Daddy, Abba. I'm filled with joy and anticipation just knowing that I'm Your child. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So in order that we who believe might be strengthened to live the life of joyful sonship, and so that those who do not believe might desire to have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. Let's briefly unpack David's blessing in 1 Chronicles a little bit with the typical three sermon points. Here they are. God the Father is the blessed owner of all things. God the Father is the highest authority in all realms. And God the Father is the bounteous provider to all. We're going to look at each of those in turn. First, then, God the Father is the blessed owner of all things. Things on earth, things that are visible. Whatever is on earth, whatever we can see. David in the 24th Psalm saying, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." He's the owner of all things heavenly and invisible, such as his mighty angels. "Bless the Lord," says the psalmist. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." This means that our human ownership is always a stewardship. It is responsibility to God for his stuff. You've probably heard me use this illustration before. In the matter of tithing, we're not giving 10% of our stuff to God. God is letting us keep 90% of his stuff. But it's not only financial, but all things. God has never relinquished his ultimate and rightful ownership of one speck of his universe. And think of what that means to you as a child of God. Since our Father, our Abba, our Daddy owns all things, how can we ever really lose anything? Our Father might, in loving chastisement, remove our stewardship, but can anything be snatched out of his hand? Didn't Jesus say no one can take anything out of his Father's hand? What comfort there is in this for the believer. Second, God the Father is the highest authority in all realms. Daniel 4:35 puts it very clearly and powerfully. "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" How God dealt with Pharaoh and Egypt in the Exodus is perhaps the best illustration there could be of God's invincible authority. The final demonstration of his authority does not yet appear. We do see wickedness in the world. We are tempted to believe that evil is triumphing. But this is the promise of God. "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Christian, that is your Father that the Word of God is talking about. Therefore, just as human ownership is always a stewardship under God, so human authority is always delegated from God to men. And no matter how bad human authority appears, you look out at the world and see what's happening. You live under some situation where the authority seems wicked and oppressive. We see it in many places in the world. It is always subject to him. God is the highest authority. Nothing is above him. When God created man and gave him that first commandment to fill the earth, multiply, subdue the earth, that was under God. They were serving as rulers under God. Even the end of the messianic kingdom and the consummation of all things, the great final day, subjects even the man, Christ Jesus. Paul writes, he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, though he is also the eternal Son, equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit, even the man Christ Jesus will, on that great last day, present the kingdom back up to his Father and be eternally subject joyfully to the Father who called and appointed him, the man, the true man, Christ Jesus, as the Savior. And what does this do for you and for me? First of all, it rules out all pride and delusions of grandeur, as it is called, by puny human beings who imagine they have an authority that comes from within, that comes from our own personal dignity, and not from the God who alone is exalted. And it rules out the fear of man. Are you afraid of man on some level and what they are able to do to you, wicked rulers, whoever it may be? This is ruled out. Your Father, Christian, is the highest authority. They can do nothing to you that he hasn't permitted to happen. The day of the triumphing of the wicked is brief. God is your Father. The highest authority over all is intimately concerned with you, believer, as his child. He's zealous to protect you. Rejoice, be glad. God is your Father. He's the bounteous provider to all. The Lord Jesus said he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Here's another illustration. We were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, about the man who had a field that was all overgrown with weeds and had rocks in it, and he cleared it out and made it fit for planting. It looked nice and clean, not a weed to be seen, not a rock. And someone came along and said, "Well, brother, just look what you and the Lord have done." And the man said, "Well, you should have seen it when the Lord had it by himself." But the point is, it was God who gave the man the ability to clear that field. God is the provider behind all provision. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, God says. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." So just as human ownership is always stewardship, human authority is always delegated, so human provision is always agency. That is, it is God working through us and through other people and through everything in his world. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will. We are but the means. Are you looking at everything that happens in that light? That, Christian, it is your Father who is providing and working through whatsoever comes to pass. And not only that, how are we exercising our roles as agents of God's provision? We do it consciously, desiring to serve God and have authority and the ability to provide under him. Therefore, since God the Father is the blessed owner of all things, the highest authority in all realms, and the bounteous provider to all, I want to make a few points of application. His children, therefore, are full of thankfulness and praise. This is the normal state for the Christian believer, to be not filled with worry and anxiety, but filled with thankfulness and praise. The heart of sonship is seen in Jesus' words in Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." The Son of God rejoiced. He was filled with thankfulness and praise to his heavenly Father. And since God the Father is the blessed owner, the highest authority, and the bounteous provider, all his children always seek to please him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent," he's thinking about whether he's still here on earth or whether he's gone to be with the Lord in heaven, "whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him, as did Christ the Lord, who said, 'He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.'" And again, since God, our Father, is the blessed owner of all things, the highest authority in all realms, and the bounteous provider to all, his children have a secure and blessed inheritance. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." If you are a child of this heavenly Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Do you understand what the scripture is saying to you there, child of God? That if God is your Father, you're an heir with Jesus Christ of everything. What reason is there for us to worry or to fear? God is our Father. Let's be excited and joyful and filled with anticipation of the surprises that our Father has in store, all the ways that he is going to bless us. Let our relationship with God be one of loving sonship toward a loving Father. If you are not a child of the Father, you have no such witness of the Spirit, and God is not your Father. Yes, there is a sense in which Almighty God is the Father of all his creation, but he's only the Father in that redemptive, special way to his children. If you're outside of Christ, you have no such inheritance, only the certainty of his just and eternal wrath. And he who has all that power and authority and dignity and might is able, well able, to inflict the punishment on those who rebel against him, that his word has promised as equally as it has promised a heavenly inheritance to his children. But if that is the case for you, by God's sovereign grace, that can change. because God the Father arranged a marriage for his son. And a greater Solomon, so to speak, is building a greater temple for his greater father. I want to read from Matthew 22 as we come to a close. This is where that marriage is described by a parable of our Lord. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on wedding garment. And so he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that invitation to that wedding. It's an invitation to come to the wedding feast as a member of the family. Indeed, to be a partaker in the very relationship of the eternal groom and his eternal bride. To partake in the eternal relationship of the only begotten Son with his Father, partaking of the same blessed Spirit. Christian, if you are a believer, this is who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. God is your Father. If not, may God stir up your heart to seek him, that you may become, not by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but by the will of God, a member of his eternal family. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for arranging this marriage. Thank you, Son of God, for making us fit guests, clothing us with the wedding garments of your blood and righteousness. Thank you for building your temple, of which Solomon's was only a foreshadow. Thank you for making us a part of it. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for dwelling in that temple, for your presence in our hearts, by which we cry with joy and delight, Abba, Father. Amen. Our concluding song, we will sing a cappella. It's number 4B in the Book of Psalms for singing. Please stand.